Well, good morning, church. It's good to be back with you this morning. I thank you for the week off last week. I'm sure you were blessed by the preaching of John McCombs last week if you were here. If not, it's up on our website. If you ever miss one of our sermons, we try to get it up by Tuesday up on our website, so you can check that out. I think our website is printed on the back of the bulletin. You can also check out our Facebook pages if you're into social media to stay up to date with what's going on. If you have your scriptures, please turn to John 10. We're in John 10 this morning. We'll be looking at verses 1 to 21. Next week is Father's Day already. Hard to believe. We'll take a break out of John and we'll look at the life of Peter. Next week we'll look at a man who was trying to love the Lord Jesus Christ and trying to be a leader in Christ's church. And so we'll take a look at Peter next week and learn from his life and how the Lord worked in him. This morning we're in John 10, verses 1 to 21. This is God's word. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens, the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name, and he leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. This figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So Jesus again said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved. He will go in and out and find pasture. The thief only comes to steal, kill, and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming, and he leaves the sheep and flees, but the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he's a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own. My own know me. Just as the Father knows me, I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also. They will listen to my voice, so there will be one flock and one shepherd. For this reason, the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I might take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This charge I have received from my Father." There was again a division among the Jews because of these words. Many of them said, "He has a demon. He is insane. Why listen to him?" Others said, "These are not the words of one who is oppressed by a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind?" This is God's word. Let's pray. Father, we pray that you would teach us, that you would send your Spirit, that he would illumine these teachings to us that Jesus spoke some 2,000 years ago. What does it mean that he's the good shepherd? What does it mean that he is the door? What does it mean that we need to follow? So Lord, we pray that you would help us, that you would help us to understand these things. We would be renewed and refreshed again by this good news of Jesus Christ. We pray these things in his name. Amen. Begin with a question. Whose voice are you following? Whose voice are you following to direct your life? Whose voice are you following for your eternal destiny? Whose voice are you listening to? Chapter 9, which is just prior to this section, we went through a couple weeks ago, and it was the healing of the man born blind. And if you remember, this man was healed from this blindness, and no one could believe it was the same man. The neighbors couldn't believe it. This is the same guy that used to sit and beg, and he now sees. They couldn't believe it was him, and he would say, "It is I, it is my, it's me, I can see now." They couldn't believe it. They took him to the Pharisees, and the Pharisees, the religious leaders of that time, couldn't believe it either, especially since he was healed on the Sabbath. I don't know if you recall how Jesus did the work of healing that time. He actually took dirt, he took mud, he gathered the dirt and the mud, and he actually spit upon it. This would be a fun thing to do with kids for an object lesson, to act this out, right? Let's collect some mud, let's spit on it and make some paste and rub it. Sharon's like, "No, we ain't going to do that." And he rubbed it on the guy's eyes, and he told him to go wash. And he washed, and he came back seeing. And the Pharisees just thought, this was unlawful. You don't do this on the Sabbath. You don't do this kind of work of playing in the mud to heal someone. But the man that was born blind who could see rightly understood this. Never ever in the history of the world had somebody been healed of blindness. And if Jesus was a sinner, he would not be able to heal blind people. This man who used to be born was blind, began to see physically, but he also began to see spiritually. He said of Jesus, "Jesus is a prophet. Jesus is not a sinner. He is, in fact, the glorious, exalted Son of Man that was prophesied many, many years ago." And this man fell in love with Jesus and worshiped him. The blind man was seeing, and he was hearing the voice of Jesus. The Pharisees in the stories were actually the people who were really blind. They heard Jesus saying these things to the former blind man, and they said to Jesus, "Are we blind also?" Jesus said, "If you were blind, you'd have no guilt. But since you claim to see, since you claim to know the things of God, your guilt remains." The Pharisees were blind in their own self-righteousness. They were blind in their pride and the lies of Satan that said, "You're not that bad. You're actually pretty good people. You don't need a Savior. You do not need Jesus." And it's the lie that humanity has believed for all these years. So Jesus, in the midst of this healing, in the midst of this conversation with the Pharisees, tells us this story of the sheep, of the sheepfold, the door, the gatekeeper, the shepherds, to illustrate his supremacy, to illustrate his exclusiveness in calling and leading and rescuing his people out of a life of lostness and despair into a life of abundance, of knowing God, enjoying God, and living for God for all eternity. He said in verse 10, "The thief comes to only steal, kill, and destroy. I have come that you may have life and have it abundantly." Do you hear him? Do you hear him? In the midst of moral chaos, and in the midst of this threatening desert of this thing called life, whose voice are you listening to? A youth leader of a large high school ministry, he did a study. And the study asked high school students, who would they turn to first in times of tension, confusion, or crisis? And you can ask this of yourself, whether you're in high school or whether you're in elementary school or you're an adult or you're retired. Who do you turn to first in times of tension, confusion, or crisis? Whose voice are you trusting? Whose voice are you following? For the high school students, parents were pretty low on the list. Fathers were ranked number 25. Mothers, you do a little bit better. You're number 11. But most high school students, in times of tension, confusion, and crisis, will go to their peers or to music to find some place, to find some direction. Music's good. Friends are good. But we need to hear the voice of the Good Shepherd. You need to hear from the voice of the God who made you. The God who reveals to you how to live, how to love, what it means to live in this life, and what is your eternal destiny. It's the God who made you, the God who saved you, the God who delivers you, the God who will shepherd you. There are many voices out there that want you to believe and entrust them for your eternal destiny, for your life, but Jesus calls them thieves and robbers. Jesus wants you to know that He is the supreme and exclusive Son of God who is able to rescue, lead you, and call you out of a life of lostness and despair and confusion into a life of abundance, of enjoying God and glorifying God and living forever. And that's what this story is all about this morning. Let's walk through this morning. We'll look at 4 points this morning. Let's begin at verse 1. Verse 1, he says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens, the sheep hear his voice. He calls his own by name, and he leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice." The first point we want to talk about is Jesus is the strong and intimate shepherd who leads his people. And he leads them from the front. He's not some guy out there just giving orders. He is a strong and intimate, caring shepherd who is leading you from the front. Let's give a little bit of explanation about all this sheep business. Back then when they would care for sheep, they would have a sheep fold. It would be like a big sheep pen. There would be these walls, these low walls that would be higher than the sheep, and they would have thistles and barbs around them to try to protect the sheep, and there would be one main door that the sheep would come in and out. It was there for protection. Sometimes it was one person's group of sheep, or it could be several family members' groups of sheep, all in this one sheep pen. And Jesus says, there's people at times that will try to come in, that will try to climb over the walls. They won't go through the door where there's a gatekeeper. They will try to climb over and try to harm the sheep. They will try to steal the sheep. They will try to just inflict pain on the sheep or just take them for themselves. And remember, Jesus is talking to the Pharisees, and he's saying, this is you guys. You guys aren't going through the door of the sheepfold. You're going over the walls and you're harming the people. You're harming the sheep. The door that he's talking about is Jesus himself. The Pharisees aren't making much of Christ. They aren't talking of Christ. They don't see Jesus as this Savior, the Messiah. The Pharisees just want the sheep to follow them. They are taking advantage of the sheep. They only have their self interest in minds. And the point we want to illustrate here is that not all teachers preach the things of Christ. Not all churches who claim to be churches are churches of the Lord Jesus Christ. The true shepherd will enter through the door. The true shepherd will enter through Jesus. The true shepherd will talk of Christ, this one who came to die for people's sins to rescue them. The man who makes much of Christ is the pastor off after God's own heart. The Pharisees were disregarding Jesus. They saw Jesus as somebody demon-possessed. They saw Jesus as someone insane. And they were just hurting the people. And so for us, for some application, people of God, be careful who you are listening to on the TV. Be careful who you're listening to on the radio. They may be like the Pharisees. They may be thieves and robbers. What are they talking about? What are they preaching about? Are you hearing the things of Christ? Are you hearing the things of this gospel? Or are you just hearing them that if you give me so much, God will bless you and give you all kinds of stuff? If that's all you're ever hearing, they're thieves and robbers. They need to be making much of Christ. We need a Savior. And the story here, and this story that Jesus tells, the ultimate shepherd that goes through this door is Jesus. And he is the intimate shepherd. He knows his sheep and he leads them. Let me ask you a question. What comes to mind when you think of a shepherd? What comes to mind when you think of a shepherd? I think sometimes we think of guys that just like to play with animals. We like to kind of get a sheep and they're all warm and cuddly and just kind of rub them and just play around with them. We just kind of think of them as just soft guys. But shepherds were very wise, they were very strong, and they were very valiant and courageous men. If you remember, these guys would take staffs that were 4 or 5 foot long, and anything would come by to try to take their sheep, they're going to beat them down. They would carry slingshots. Somebody comes at them, a bandit, a robber, they're slinging stones. Think of King David. King David, when he was a shepherd, when a bear or a lion came after his sheep, he didn't run from them, he ran after them to protect his sheep. Shepherds were strong, valiant men. They were our modern-day maybe ninja warriors, if you're familiar with that show. You don't want to mess with a shepherd and take one of his sheep. And this is what a picture of Jesus is. He's strong. He's courageous. And he's leading from the front. If you're following him, he's right in front of you. He's strong. He's mighty. He's courageous. Whatever might be bringing you fear and anxiety this morning, whether it's a parenting issue, whether it's a job situation, whether it's a doctor's prognosis, whatever it is, know this. Jesus is in front of you, leading you through it. There's no one stronger. There's no one wiser. And he's leading you all the way home through life. He is a strong, mighty, wise, courageous shepherd. And he's intimate. He knows you. He knows your name. You know his voice. You hear him. There's a story that's told back in the 1980s. There was an outbreak in Palestine, and the Israel army collected all the animals in this neighborhood. There's hundreds of animals. The Palestinians weren't paying their taxes, so they took all the Palestinians' animals and put them in this big sheep pen. Well, there was a woman, her husband died, a Palestinian woman, her husband died, and so she goes to the soldiers and says, can I get my animals back? My husband's dead. I have no way to take care of myself. Can I go get my animals? And the Israeli soldier looks into the pen. There's hundreds of animals. How do you think you're going to get all your animals out of there? She goes, I can. If I can get them, and I can show you their mind, will you let me take them home? And he's like, okay. So she goes home, and she gets her son, and the son comes, and he pulls out the flute that his dad would play, and he starts playing that same song that his dad would play. And as he's playing this little melody, this little flute, and this pen of hundreds of animals, as the music starts playing, these animals' heads start pop up. They know the tune. They're looking. And so one by one, about 25 animals come out of that sheep pen to follow the animal home. Kids, it's kind of like you and the ice cream truck, right? You hear the music, ice cream, ice cream. The sheep know the sound of their master. This is not for the whole world. This is Jesus and his people. And he calls his people. He calls you through the preaching of this word, through the study of his word, through your conscience. The Holy Spirit talks to you and you know it's Jesus. And Jesus knows you by name. He knows you, you who believe in him. He knows your hurts. He knows your struggles and your pain. This Jesus, this great I am, this great transcendent God knows you like this. Not Jesus, but I'll pretend to be Jesus. He says to you, Randy, I love you. I died for you, and I will lead you through all of your life. Follow me. Megan, Jesus says, I love you. I died for you. And I'm leading you through the rest of your life. And he says that to each and one of you. He knows you by name. He laid down his life for you, and he will lead you all the way home. It's a special love. It's an electing love. It's not for the whole world. It's those whom the Father has given to Jesus. And so do you hear him this morning? He says, I know your lostness. I know your despair. I know your hurt. He says, follow me. I am the good, strong shepherd to lead you to a life of abundance. Follow him today. Follow him today. Our second point it leads us to is Jesus is the exclusive door to abundant life for his people. Jesus is the exclusive door to this abundant life for his people. In verse 7, Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved. He will go in and out and find pasture. The thief only comes to steal, kill, and destroy. I came that you may have life and have it abundantly. Jesus shifts from speaking of himself as the shepherd now to speaking to himself as this door to the gate. It's an exclusive door. It's the only door. Some of you have watched game shows, I'm sure. I don't know if you ever watched the show Let's Make a Deal. Anybody seen that show? It's a crazy show, right? It's adults. They dress up in costumes. They act like they're 5 years old. And they actually act like they're 5 years old. They're jumping around and they want to make a deal with them. They say there's door number one. There's door number two. There's door number three. And it says in one of those doors there's a great new car. But one of the other doors it could be socks or underwear. And so they have to guess which door that stuff is behind, and sometimes they guess they get the good prize, and sometimes they guess and they get the socks. Well, Jesus says he is the door, and he's the only door. Don't be deceived that there's multiple doors. He says, I am the door. If you want salvation, you must come through me. Many in our society want to say that there are many doors to heaven. It's not so. Listen to what he says. Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved. The thief comes only to steal and kill. I come that you may have life and have it abundantly. That means eternal living, eternally growing and knowing God, being eternally joyful. It's not just being rich. He might bless you to be rich, to bless a whole bunch of people, but it's a life of just knowing that I am secure in knowing Jesus Christ as my Savior and Lord, that God is my God and I am his person. I will dwell with the Lord forever. Someone will say, well, that seems unfair. Why can't there be other ways? Why can't all religions just go to the same place? That's the wrong question to ask. The question to ask is, why is there any way? Why is there a door when we're all sinful, when we're all just rebelling against God? Why is God so gracious to make one way? And Jesus says, I am the door, and it's wide open. All you got to do is walk right through me, and salvation is yours. Salvation is full and free. It's wide open, and it's meant for you to walk through the Lord Jesus Christ, to have eternal life, to have a living hope, to understand what life is about and how it is to love. Jesus makes it clear he is the exclusive door to life and abundant living. We go to our third point and we see that Jesus is the sacrificial and unifying shepherd. Jesus is the sacrificial and unifying shepherd of his people. In verse 11 it says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. And jump down to verse 16, I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also. They'll listen to my voice. There will be one flock. There will be one shepherd. Jesus is the sacrificial shepherd. He lays his life down for you. It's not against lions. It's not against tigers. It's not against bears. But it's against the wrath of God that we all deserve for all of our sins. He will lay down his life. He will take upon himself the wrath of God so that you do not need to endure it or ever have to worry about that condemnation ever, ever again. He will lay down his life. And he did, and he took it up again to show that God was pleased with his sacrifice, that he is indeed the good shepherd of his sheep, that he can save to the uttermost. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. This is one man from Nazareth claiming divine power, and the sacrifice is for you who believe. Not only for you, not only for the Jewish people, but for Gentiles, for a countless number of people from every tribe, tongue, and nation. The Church of Christ is huge. This is just not only the Church of Christ. This is just one outpost. He is building a kingdom that is filling the whole earth, a countless multitude, a family that you belong to. It's one Lord, one Shepherd, one Savior, one body, and you're a part of it, you who believe. And heaven's going to be a rocking place of worship. We have a vision of John in Revelation 7. He says, I looked and behold, there's a great multitude that no one can number, from every nation, from every tribe, peoples, languages, standing before the throne and the Lamb, clothed in white robes and crying with a loud voice, salvation belongs to our God who sits in the throne and to the Lamb. It's going to be a beautiful, rocking worship service with people all over the world. Jesus is the Savior, is a sacrificial Savior that is bringing one church together. He has sheep all over the world that he is rescuing. We are different. You are not like me. I am not like you. But we are common in one thing, that we are sinners who need a Savior. And that brings us together. And we can look at all the diversity and the differences and say, wow, God creates amazing people with lots of differences. And we're united in the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the sacrificial, unifying shepherd of his people. And so we end with the question, whose voice are you following? Whose voice are you following? In verse 19, it says, there was again a division among the Jews because of these words. Many of them said, he has a demon, he is insane, why listen to him? Others said, they're not the words of one who's oppressed by a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind? Whose voice are you going to follow for your life, for your destiny? Yes, it's good to have good friends. Yes, it's good to have good music. And you go and talk to people. But for your ultimate questions, ultimate leading, for ultimate truth, you need the good shepherd to lead you. God in the Old Testament is referenced many times as a shepherd. We read from Psalm 23 today, the Lord, Yahweh, is my shepherd. I will not lack. Isaiah 40, God will tend his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms and he will carry them. In Ezekiel 34, he says, for thus says the Lord God, I myself will search for my sheep and seek them out. And now Jesus is saying, I am the good shepherd. Jesus is Yahweh who is the good shepherd. He is Yahweh who is the door. He is this eternal God who is standing right before them and before you today and saying, will you listen to me? Do you hear me? I'm calling. I want to give you a life of abundance. I don't want you to have this life of guilt and despair and lostness. I want you to have this life of peace and joy and just growing in an eternal relationship with this great, majestic God. You have to answer the questions. Whose voice are you listening to? Is he a demon? Is he just insane? Someone like that can't open the eyes of the blind. Do you see him? Do you hear him? Jesus is the supreme, exclusive Son of God who can call you, lead you, and rescue you out of a life of despair and lostness into a life of abundant living, of knowing God, and having eternal joy. Follow him. Hear him today. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we need to hear. Give us ears to hear. Lord, help us to recognize voices that only come to kill, destroy. Let us hear the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd who leads from the front. The Good Shepherd who lays his life down for his sheep. He will lead us all the way home. Not only did he lay his life down, he took it up again on the third day. He's rolling and reigning and building his sheep. He's bringing his sheep in to one church all over the world. Lord, bring more of your people in, even today. May they hear your voice. May they cry out, save me, rescue me, lead me. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.